Well, unless you're living under a rock for the last month, I think you're probably going to know what this next paragraph is all about. But the Southern Tier is among the winners in the Upstate Revitalization Initiative, competition among seven upstate regions for millions of dollars in funding to support projects identified by the regional economic development councils. Three of the seven regions were deemed to have made the most compelling proposals for the funding and have been designated best plan awardees, including the Southern Tier. And each will receive $500 million. As co-chair of the Southern Tier's Regional Economic Development Council, Binghamton University's president, Harvey Stenger, sees the URA results as the beginning of an economic comeback for the Southern Tier. And he also views the Binghamton University Forum as the focal point for our efforts as a university and community coming together to move forward. I think that's what's really terrific about this organization is that the two organizations, the university and the community, are so vital to the success of our community and that partnership. And I know Harvey believes very strongly in this organization, has spent a lot of his personal time and commitment to helping us as the officers of this organization move forward. Today's a testament, I think, to his commitment to this organization, and he's going to be the star of the show today, too. So he's putting his money where his mouth is, so that's great. So thank you. One other quick note before I turn the podium over to Harvey. Today, the program that we're going to be discussing, obviously, is the URI. And we are here at WSKG today recording this. So it will broadcast on WSKG Public Radio next Thursday at 7. And then that's the 28th, and then on Saturday the 30th at noon on WSQX. So SKG on Thursday night, 89.3 here locally in the Binghamton area. And we're also recording the video as well, and we will post it to the WSKG News website, and it'll be on the Binghamton University Forum, a link there as well. So if you have any snowbirds that are in Florida that couldn't be here today to experience the presentation, please send along those links. We think it's really critical that as many people in our community understand about this initiative as possible. And my last thing before I turn it over to Dr. Stenger is that many things have been said about Harvey, and all good, generally. but the one that's really stuck with me is that he really is a man of his word. And if you remember, I don't know which Binghamton University update it was that Harvey gave us and shared with us in the last year. He said, we're going to win this competition. And it wasn't, we're going to participate and we're going to do well. He said, we're going to win it. So we did. And congratulations to him and to the whole team that's involved with bringing this money to the Southern Tier. And so with that, I'd like to turn over the podium to Harvey Stenger.
Thank you, Brian. I have to turn on the screen here. Can you hit the mic there? Actually, let me leave you in suspense for a few more minutes. Because first, I also want to give you a university update. As is my practice, and my role in this meeting usually is confined to those first few minutes before the speaker gets up here. And I know that we're always a little bit late and we're running behind schedule and people want to get back to their work. I tend to cut them a little short, but today I'm the speaker after this. So I'm only cutting into his time if I go a little bit too long on the university update. But it will be brief because it was a year that had some really great highlights and some great progress on campus. When I think of 2015, the snapshot that I see is that we started it about a year ago with an on-campus screening, probably the largest screening of a feature film ever made in 1,200 people in the Anderson Center of the movie The Rewrite, written by our alum, Mark Lawrence, written, produced, directed, everything by Mark Lawrence, starring Hugh Grant and Marissa Tomei, and I know many of you were there at that. To start the year on that was tough. But then in October, we found out that our professor, Stan Whittingham, person whose name is on the initial first patent of the lithium battery, was named by Thomson Reuters as one of the three most likely people in the world to win the Nobel Prize. He didn't win, but he's going to be around a while. And we think that Stan brought a lot of attention to us at that point. And then to finish off 2015 with the celebration in Albany, to know that the Southern Tier was the winner of the Upstate Revitalization Initiative. Those were three pretty big highlights. But on the mundane side, 2015 was a great year because it sets us up so well for 2016. You know, when you think about the health of a university, and you think about the value of a university, you look at how many people are interested in it. Our undergraduate applications set another record. This is a broken record. Every year we set a new record, over 31,000 applications this year for our undergraduates, up 5%. And that's not bad when you have 31,000 people that want to come and we only have 2,500 seats available for them. A lot of hard work by our faculty and our staff and our staff that goes out and recruits students. But more importantly, as people have heard me say, we're trying to grow our graduate programs much more quickly than our undergraduate programs. And the good news is that we have 13% more completed graduate applications this year than last year. So we are growing there as well, and we can see that that will happen. We've grown 2,300 students in the last 3 years. We're at about 17,000, the actual number is 16,931 students as of the fall semester, and we're going to continue to grow our graduate student population, somewhere between 200 to 400 students a year. And we will reach 20,000. And I'm making that promise, Brian. I'm making another promise, and I've said we can get there by 2020. It may take a little bit longer than that, but I think we are on the right path and at the right pace to do it with quality as we expand and grow our campus. And to do that, we've added 200 new tenured and tenure-track faculty in the last 4 years, 200 new faculty, who, as I want to say, are great teachers for our students, but they're our neighbors. And I like to think of the forum as us. We, together, are the university. Not just the university is doing this, but the people in the community know that this is happening and want, they root us on, they support us, and so therefore they are part of us. So the first person plural pronoun is very important there. But we're building buildings as well. As an engineer, that kind of excites me. I know our facilities people are here. It excites them as well. And you can see the buildings growing quickly across the Broome County from town to town. The Smart Energy Building at the corner of Murray Hill and the Parkway is on schedule, probably open in about 12 to 18 months, where our chemistry and physics departments will move to. The downtown incubator, if you haven't driven down Holly Street, you can see that there's about 3 stories of concrete that's been raised there. Our Center of Excellence that was just recently finished on campus. If you haven't heard, we're building a School of Pharmacy and Pharmaceutical Sciences, and as I was told by Naima today as she was coming past the Goodwill Theater, that they are tearing down the old building that's there, so we're making demolition progress today on that site. But little known, we also have purchased a property on Jennison Avenue where we're going to be putting a nursing clinic, which is right across the street from the pharmacy school, and we're also looking at an expansion and move of our nursing school to Corliss Avenue, to the old Endicott Johnson box factory. And you can't just do this with buildings and faculty, you need some new programs as well. And so we've launched new programs in graduate programs in data analytics, be a cross between engineering and management, a master's degree program in sustainable communities that we believe will be very popular and very important for our students in the future. The Doctor of Pharmacy degree, which is the degree that will be offered in our School of Pharmacy, as well as a master's degree in public health. I think we've put all the things together, people, space, and programs, in order to reach that goal of 20,000 students. And as I say, we're rising sometimes, us as a university, we're rising, but it's also our job to push and to pull. So to push and to pull means that's the URI. And that's the transition that I'd like to make into the URI. So what is this whole URI thing? Why did the governor do this? Why did he start this process? Well, it actually started in 2011. When he created the Regional Economic Development Councils across the whole state. And it was going to be a competitive approach to economic development. And I totally bought into it. I was in Buffalo at the time. I watched the process there generate the Buffalo Billion. And I said, this is going to work because we are very competitive people. And if we're competing for something that's significant, We will be happy. This was the last visit to Albany. You can see here the happy people. This team is the winning team. And notice there's only 17 of them there, if you count. There's only 17 of us there. Pretty happy. This was not the happy team. Mohawk Valley. Unfortunately, they weren't winners. They had 27 people there. I think that was one of our keys to success, is that we were the smallest region competing of the seven. We were the smallest region. So we had the ability to be agile, to know more people across the region, and to work together more effectively than some of the other regions. So the rules, right? If you're going to have a competition, you got to have rules. So the governor laid out a bunch of rules for us. 10 regional councils established in 2011, breaking the state up into counties of somewhere between 5 or 6, up to 8 to 10 counties, breaking the state up into those segments, the southern tier being 8 counties. Then he said, it's not about the members of the assembly, the members of the Senate. He used to have walking around money. It was called member money, right? And they could go in and they could start an economic project and say, here's $1 million, get it going. That all went away. The governor took that money back. And that's where most of this money came from, was money that was being made decisions by one or two people at a time, and put it into a group of people, both from the private sector and the public sector. And if you go to the meetings of the REDC, you'll notice that the elected officials do not have a vote. It is just those people who are not elected, the people who are working for companies or for universities or for independent not-for-profit agencies that have the vote around them. So I think he did some good things there. We had to write a strategic plan in the beginning, and it had some clear initiatives. We also certainly believe that the competition made us generate more effective plans, more thoughtful plans, plans that we probably spent a little more time getting the data for before we actually said we could do something. And there was a leverage that was required. For every dollar that was going to be spent, you had to raise $5 of non-state funds in order to do the project. A big cost here. Oh, and it's important when you win, I don't know if you can see me there, but you bow to the governor. I don't know what I was doing there, but I was literally bowing to the governor. Thank you for the $500 million. And then I always let Tom Tranter, who's the other co-chair, carry the plaques, because I will drop them. And I have more hands then to carry the money home. So I'm more efficient there as well. And so the history of sort of our success in the past 4 years before it became the Upstate Revitalization Initiative. 2014, $80 million for 91 projects. And you could read down through these. These weren't real dollars. About half of them were real dollars. About half of them were tax credits and bond cap increases. So that you couldn't go down the street and buy something at the 7-Eleven with them. You know, there was a complicated process of how you got the tax credit. So even though we know the governor likes to make it $750 million, we know that some of it isn't walking around cash. And he's not here today. He was supposed to be here, and I would have said it if he was here too, because he would agree with it as well. But we did pretty well. We had a flood in 2011. That was not planned. And so we were able to recover from that. I'm not going to say that the co-chair then was the president of Cornell, and that now in 2012 became the president of Binghamton University and the co-chair of the Regional Economic Development Council, because I really think it was that we were held back. We had a really big disadvantage of having that flood here in 2011. And then winners, top performers for 3 years. And the bottom line was $303 million for 298 projects, 4,000 jobs created, $1.5 billion in projects. Sounds like a great story. But during those 3 years, we continued to lose employment. Even though these projects created 4,000 jobs, just last year alone in the southern tier, we lost 3,400 jobs in the 8 counties. 3,400 jobs, which is about 3%. Now, job loss is, you saw if you went to the presentation yesterday by M&T Bank, job loss can be retirements, it can be leaving the area. It's not that somebody just lost their job, but there's other reasons why that numerator goes smaller. And then along came the idea of the Upstate Revitalization Initiative. So the banks in 2008 and 2009 did some things that weren't really appreciated by the governor and the attorney general of New York, and they were fined on the order of $5 billion in fines that were attached to some of the things that they did with some of the derivatives that they created in those years. And that funding, $5 billion, then was used for some special projects. I know the Tappan Zee Bridge was one of them. But the governor decided he would take $1.5 billion of that $5 million fine and put it into this competition. So it is sort of different money. It's real money. It's not money that we have to go out and sell bonds to get, which in the past, many of those dollars were from bond financings. And that he would eliminate Western New York, because they got the Buffalo Building, billion. He would eliminate Long Island, because we don't like Long Island. And ditto for New York City. No, because their economies had not slumped like the upstate economies had slumped. And I carry this graph around. I don't have it as a slide, but I carry this graph around of the manufacturing jobs in the upstate cities since 1993. And I show it to people to say, you know, you've lived through some of the worst years possible. When you look at Rochester or Buffalo losing more than half of their manufacturing job, from over 130,000 manufacturing jobs in Rochester to less than 50,000 manufacturing jobs in Rochester over a 25-year period. So he was betting, I think, where he needed to bet. And as they say, what a plan it was. And here's the plan. I carry it around with me almost all the time, because when people ask me questions, a lot of times the answers aren't here. What does that project mean? What does that initiative mean? What's an I district? And so all the information that really won the day was in here. But as I've told people, everybody had a good plan. Syracuse had a good plan. Rochester had a good plan. Mohawk Valley had a good plan. We had some secret weapons. I know Steve isn't here today, but I got his permission to use Steve Craig's photograph in here. It's a younger Steve Craig, he admits to, but that's Steve Craig. Channel 34? What was Steve on? Is it Channel 34, I think? So Steve was our videographer, our voiceover, our editor of the video that we put together, and we also were lucky enough to team up with a company called Legendary Films, founded by Thomas Tull of Endwell and his animation group that helped us put together this video. And so in the next 4 minutes...
The Southern Tier's refined and refocused plan includes more than 60 projects that are ready to go in 2016, advancing all four new initiatives. Starting with reclaiming the industrial core of Greater Binghamton by building an innovation ecosystem comprised of three innovation or I districts. The Binghamton I district would radiate development from the university's Southern Tier High Technology Incubator, a source of spin-offs and startups now under construction. Related investments would deliver integrated housing, commercial space and parking, job training, job creation, a safe scenic route for cyclists and pedestrians to the university's main campus, and waterfront redevelopment. The catalyst for the Johnson City Health and Cultural I District will be the university's new College of Pharmacy and Pharmaceutical Science and the relocation of its Decker School of Nursing, both on former Endicott Johnson property. This redeveloped brownfield opportunity area will be known as the Southern Tier Health Sciences and Technology Innovation Park and will also host the Center for Applied Regenerative Medicine and the Binghamton BioFoundry. Across the street, the existing Firehouse stage will be linked to the restored Goodwill Theater by a new community cultural hub. Ready to go right now is the mixed-use transformation of another former EJ building. The former IBM complex, now known as the Huron campus, is at the core of the Endicott Advanced Manufacturing I District, already the site of Binghamton University's Center for Advanced Microelectronics Manufacturing, which will drive innovation in flexible printed electronics and industrial 3D printing. BAE Systems will build a test track for its hybrid and fuel cell powertrains. Related investments will support commercial and community redevelopment. Investment in the Southern Tier's already robust advanced manufacturing industry will drive wealth creation with 3,300 additional high-paying jobs and the preservation of more than 10 times that number. Integrated workforce development will deliver required skills training. High priority will go to our transportation products, components, and system controls cluster with new emphasis on cybersecurity. Game-changing investments include a $150 million complex in Broome County with more than a dozen existing plant expansions in six other counties ready to start now. URI investments will also build our agriculture industry cluster, effectively transforming the Southern Tier into a reliable, year-round source of high-quality food from major East Coast cities. To meet that demand, we will leverage the global leadership of Cornell's College of Agriculture and Life Sciences, along with advances in renewable energy and controlled environment agriculture. While climate-driven disruption threatens food systems elsewhere, our reliable supply of abundant fresh water and fertile land will position the Southern Tier as a food industry leader. New value-added processing and distribution will contribute to the creation of 2,800 jobs, 250 of them for hard-to-place individuals. Average wages will rise 10% by 2020. Fresh, healthful foods will form part of the new Southern Tier brand, as will educational excellence, an innovation ecosystem, advanced industries, arts and culture, and vast recreational and natural resources. Aggressively promoting these assets will attract tourists, entrepreneurs, students, innovators, and investment. In addition to launching the Southern Tier's brand, a dozen projects are ready to go across the entire region.
This is a competition that is posing a specific question. What business partners will you invest in? What will they contribute? How many jobs will that generate? And how is that in furtherance of your regional vision for your cluster economy?
Partners, proof of performance, and the promise of impact. We will aggressively implement our plan to create the ideal conditions for economic growth by leveraging more than $2.5 billion in private investment, creating more than 10,200 jobs, and having an overall economic impact of more than $3.4 billion in the next 5 years.
That was great. Thank you, Steve. So we broke the plan down into four initiatives. And the initiatives are just crisp, small phrases. Binghamton's urban centers, and that's Johnson City, Endicott, and Binghamton. Advanced manufacturing, agriculture, and then brand the region. Get people to know where we are. And I'm going to describe each one of them briefly and highlight some of the projects and then take some questions. Binghamton's urban centers, Binghamton, Johnson City, and Endicott. If you drive Main Street, you hit all three of them in a row. Some of them seem like cities. Some of them are actually villages, but that's okay. They feel like an urban area. And we want to make them cool again. We want to make them the place where people want to live and that people want to work. And so trying to bring back the vibrancy that Johnson City once had, if you see some of the old photographs, or Endicott once had, is a key priority of the Southern Tier's plan. And of course, along with that is the culture that we have always had here and that we need to enhance and bring back. We can see advanced manufacturing being important in here, and I'll talk more specifically about what field that is, and also growing our research and our education as well as our manufacturing and healthcare and science. Some highlighted projects I think that are going to be exciting that you'll see over the next couple of years become reality. 7 Hawley Street, which is the parking lot behind CVS, has been allocated funds to build a mixed-use development complex there with parking, retail, and housing. The Collier Street Commons, my least favorite building in the world, will be torn down and will also have mixed-use development there. Route 434 Greenway, a bike path and pedestrian path, has been funded to take people from downtown Binghamton all the way to the campus. And I think that when you think about what's going to happen in downtown Binghamton, it's going to be that cool place to be again. And the waterfront revitalization projects, what else can we use that waterfront for? If you go to Buffalo and you talk about the Buffalo Billion, it's all centered around Lake Erie and the Niagara River. It's a very small area, actually, where they have created most of their impact. And they use that waterfront. And we have a beautiful confluence of two incredible rivers. Susquehanna, the largest river in the east of the Mississippi, on the Shenango River, one of the most cleanest and fastest flowing rivers that we've got around here. So we've got these waterfront opportunities that we're not using. So how do we create some special spaces around them? Johnson City, health and cultural district. Not shoes anymore. It's pharmaceuticals now. Instead of making shoes, we're going to make drugs there. And so the School of Pharmacy and Pharmaceutical Sciences that will be there, the researchers that they hire, will be hired in a way that supports industry's development of new important drugs, new important active ingredients, as well as how we deliver those products and how we study their effects. And then along with that, some of these research centers, regenerative medicine, meaning actually growing an organ from stem cells and from a scaffolding that can actually then create another living organ. And of course, the Goodwill Theater. Glad that Naima's here, because I think you can't just have factories and schools. You need some culture there. And the Goodwill Theater, I think, with its expansion, add that cultural aspect to Johnson City. And then the Endicott Advanced Manufacturing District, old IBM buildings that we have some operations in there, as well as some private companies, small private companies. The Flexible Printed Electronics Center that we're starting will be there, a large Department of Defense grant. Bagat Samakia is the lead on that, about a $50 million grant to actually come up with commercialized products that can be flexible. And so you think about a newspaper that you could read on a piece of plastic that would automatically be updated because it was LEDs. Advanced manufacturing. I think this was the one of the best things we came up with. When we looked at the population density of manufacturing industries and you look at their standard industry codes and you try to sort through this, we found that we had a location quotient, very technical economic term, location quotient of 11.8 for a field of transportation equipment and systems manufacturing facilities. That means that we are 11 times more likely to have this industry here than any other place in the country per capita. And when you think about who are those companies, it's Alstom in Hornell that actually makes the trains for Amtrak. It's Lockheed Martin that makes the helicopter interior inside avionics systems for the president's helicopter. It's lithium batteries that are coming out of the research that's being done at Binghamton University. It's Corning that actually has a very large manufacturing facility to make filters for diesel engines. Raymond Corporation making forklifts and BAE hybrid bus systems. So you can see that when you start to think about it, those are all large companies, large firms with large installations here. And what do they all have in common? They all have in common is that they want their vehicles to drive autonomously. That's the goal. They want them to be on their own. I mean, President Obama just announced $5 billion in autonomous vehicles that he's going to be rolling out over the next few years. What's the biggest problem with that? Cybersecurity. Somebody else can take it over. If it's running on its own, then the threat of it being taken over by somebody else, and that could be pretty serious if it's one of these, or one of these, or even one of these. And so the research around cybersecurity for autonomous vehicles is still pretty nascent. And so we pulled this group of companies together and had them brainstorm a little bit and realize if we could answer and solve some of those problems, not just the software problems, but also the hardware problems, we'd have a great asset that we could use, not just to keep these companies here and to make them more successful, but also to try to get some of the suppliers of theirs to come here and to set up shop here, rather than having them in other states. And some highlighted projects. Again, going to some of those old industrial cities, Elmira, Corning, Norwich, Hornell, trying to revitalize their downtown areas, making them a place that these companies would want to expand in. Lord, as I said, working on the supply chain businesses, trying to recruit them, increasing the amount of research and development that can help this industry cluster. Invest in startup companies, specifically those that will service these larger manufacturing firms. Talent attraction, one of the things that we get criticized for. Even though Cornell has great graduates and we have great graduates, not many of them like to stay here. They want to go somewhere else. So how do we attract talent and maintain those students here? And also the workforce development programs that are going to be critical for the manufacturing jobs and facilities that we'll be creating at SUNY Broome and Corning Community College. Everybody loves their garden, and this is all about gardening. And we have the probably number one or number two agricultural school in the country. And so building on some of the research that Cornell's Agriculture and Life Sciences School has developed, this would be our third initiative. And it's developing new species, new strains, new ways of growing high value-added product indoors. You'd think it's not very efficient, but this is actually a facility in Brooklyn, New York. It's several acres under glass running 12 months a year, growing high volume, in this case, leaf lettuce and spinach. So you can grow indoors, and you can make it economical, especially when you're the only place that has water. And when you think about the water shortages in California, even though they probably have 3 to 4 times more farmland than we do, we can have it more abundant if we have access to free, inexpensive water. We're also in a great place for distribution in terms of our location, the hub of 81 and 88 and 17 and 390. We can get to New York City, we can get to Philadelphia in 3 hours, an easy drive, and that's why companies like Willow Run and Mains have been located here. But how can we take advantage of that if we see a growth in locally produced food? How can we use that distribution network to our advantage of actually using the agriculture that we grow and moving it rather than bringing food from California and distributing it from those suppliers? Food processing, certainly in terms of yogurt, in terms of spirits, breweries, wineries, the food processing region is the third fastest growing industry in the Southern Tier. How can we advance that? And, you know, it's not silly, but agritourism, when you think about agritourism, it's not like you're going out there and slopping with the pigs. You're going to the wineries and you're going to the breweries and you're visiting those kinds of farms. So some of the projects that we will be launching is certainly in the area of controlled environment growth, meaning indoor warehouse type of growing facilities. Also at Cornell, they've been developing some strains where pharmaceuticals can be produced in natural products. How can we advance that, as well as then couple with the School of Pharmacy and Pharmaceutical Sciences here? Cornell does not have one of those schools, so we'll be complementary to their ag school development of new pharmaceutical sources. And remember, it's pretty cold out there. You're growing something indoors in the middle of the winter, alternative energy sources are going to be critical for the economic viability of these. So how can you use the natural heat that's generated by compost or solar or wind in order to generate the energy necessary to keep these facilities operating? And branding it. Certainly, I think the brands of Chobani have caught on quite extensively across the country. How can we develop those kinds of brands for other products from the Southern Tier? And then the last one is the hardest one for me to sell, I think, until you look at the pictures that I picked for it. Rod Serling, Thomas Watson, an iPhone that'll never break, a view of a Finger Lake over a wine, over a vineyard, Watkins Glen Speedway, College Town in Ithaca, New York, Buttermilk Falls, the newest university in the state and the oldest university in the state almost, both with clock towers that certainly tells their ages are a little bit different between Binghamton and Cornell. You've got all these assets. People just don't know about it until they get here. And so how do we put that brand out there? Is it, I don't think it's Lewis Black yelling into a microphone as he did for Startup New York for the governor, but I do think that there's an approach that we need to take as a region to tell other folks that this is a great place to have your family, this is a great place to have your business, it's a great place to live. And so this would be a branding program. And how do we attract firms in order to address these issues? How can we develop a certain message, a certain brand for the Southern Tier? It's going to be a struggle, I think. Because everybody out there is trying to do the same thing for their regions. So will Binghamton and the Southern Tier be able to create a specific brand separate from those? Again, just take your look, tick back to those pictures of those folks that were here. I think we can. I'm not the expert in this, but I do think that we can do that. So overall, and as I said, there's the book here that talks about it, and I'll take some questions about process. Overall, the budgets for each of them have been decided, really trying to spread the funds across the four initiatives fairly evenly, looking at job creation fairly evenly across all of them, although the branding initiative certainly has the fewest number of jobs that's going to be created. Sorry. And so once people start to move forward and try to figure out how do I get access to some of these funds, many of the projects have already been defined. But many of the projects haven't been defined. And so there will be a process that will be rolled out, probably not until March, unfortunately, the way Albany Works, probably March, April, a process that will roll out having people submit some ideas for those dollars that have not been pre-programmed. And the pre-program is mostly the first year of projects, so we're looking at ideas for the second, third, and fourth year in these different topics spread across the different initiatives at that amount. So I put some handouts around the tables, and at the top it says, it's the plan, not the money. But the money's really good. But it is the plan, not the money, because just put it in perspective, $500 million, half a billion dollars that's going to be invested over 5 years, what could you have done with that? What if you had given all 600,000 people in the Southern Tier a tax rebate? They'd each get about $1,000 over 5 years, so $200 a year, and what would they have done with that? Probably would have bought a winter coat on a day like today. Maybe they spent it at a restaurant. Could we have created 10,000 jobs if we had just given $200 a year to every person? Probably not. It would have been nice. Some people would say that's how government should run. They shouldn't centrally control these decisions. But I think that we, at least because we have a good plan and we went through a competition to prove that we had a good plan, we think we can invest it. But remember, if you then look at the eight counties and you add up, and I've done this in a couple of different ways, you add up all the fixed assets, bridges, buildings, schools, companies, assets, physical assets. There's $600 billion of physical assets in the Southern Tier. $500 million is 0.1% of the asset pool that's out there. So when you were looking at that video and you saw those little lightsabers jumping out of the map, those are strategically located so that we can have the biggest impact possible. And if you notice, they were kind of color-coded, they were spread out. That was the work of Thomas Tull's company, Legendary Films. It really gave you the feeling that we had an idea that kind of covered things in a pretty good way. But 10,000 jobs is 4% of our current workforce in an environment where we just lost 3,400 jobs last year. This isn't going to be easy. This is going to be really hard. But the critical things, even though we can look at those four initiatives and talk about the projects that we've got to create and retain intellectual property. Our universities are key to the success. Binghamton University, Cornell University, community colleges, creating intellectual property and moving that creative intellectual property into the marketplace is the number one priority. We've got to recruit and retain talent. We have to keep our students here. We have to recruit smart, intelligent people to this area. And this gets sort of into the confidence side. We have to have the confidence of a winner. We have to think like a winner. Winners win. Damn it, Tom Brady and the New England Patriots are probably going to win the Super Bowl again. Unfortunately, if you're not a fan of theirs. Because they have the confidence of a winner. They just walk out on the field and you go, oh, they're going to win. They're going to win. We have to have that feeling. We have to have that Tom Brady, New England Patriots attitude when we walk out on the field. We have to work together. I was trying to figure out what are the three most important words in the world the other day. And because Kathy wanted something for Valentine's Day, I thought of I love you. But then I thought, I think the three most important words for this day is we, and ours, and us. First person plural. It's all about first person plural from here out. It's not about I, it's not about me, it's not about you. It's about we, ours, and us. And if we can kind of get that feeling that we can work together, then I really do that we can compete and we can win. So I do believe that we're at a turning point. A personal story. Grew up 60 miles north of here. Back when we had a lot of manufacturing jobs, my dad was an engineer at Carrier Air Conditioning in Syracuse. All the dads had good jobs. The moms had good jobs. The kids had great, great futures ahead of them. It was 1979, and I left. And I ended up in Boston for 4 or 5 years. I ended up in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania for 23 years. Then I went to Buffalo, New York, and now I'm at Binghamton, New York. So the bees are following me. But when I got back, gone from 1979 to 2006, I said, what the hell happened? Where did all the jobs go? And I can totally understand the regulations, the taxes, Government burdens certainly can push you out, but we didn't have the attitude of a winner at that time. And I'm just trying to say that that's the most important thing. It's the plan. It's not the money. The money's going to be good. We're going to take great care of it as a council. We're going to invest in strategic projects. And it's got to be a turning point. It's got to be a turning point. And I really think it's going to be because of the people in this room and all of your friends and colleagues out there. So thank you very much for letting me speak today passionately about something I love. And I'll be glad to take questions. I think we have time for a couple minutes of questions, and I've been asked to repeat them if they're from the audience so that they can be recorded. Yes?
What are they thinking of the people who didn't win?
I'm not too worried about them, but the people that didn't win. So Syracuse won, Rochester won, the Southern Tier won. Mohawk Valley did not win. That's Utica. The North Country did not win. Albany did not win, and the Hudson Valley did not win. There was a second place prize. And they were each awarded $35 million of project money for 1 year and the ability to recompete every year for that $35 million. What our advantage is that we have $500 million guaranteed over a five-year period. So they had something to keep them going. And when I look at the differences between those regions, there's lots of reasons why we did better than them, but they could have easily competed as well as we did, but they might not have had as good a plan. Ed, thanks. Robin.
Harvey, the three winning plans, I believe, are contiguous in terms of, and have you discussed how we can leverage that?
Yeah. No, we haven't really come up with it. One thing that is common in all three of those is agriculture is one of the initiatives. So I believe that that would be the first place that we'll be working for intersection projects. Knowing the governor, he's going to come out with some new competition that encourages interregional, don't you guess this one, Robin, interregional collaboration. And so if we start to think about where can we have the biggest impact, it would probably be in the dairy industry of central New York, the wine industry of the Finger Lakes region, and then the Southern Tier distribution and processing area. But it's kind of like you beat them, or you're in a competition, and you really don't talk about collaborating during that year preparing your plan. But I think now you're right, Robin. We've got to start thinking about how we work together. Thank you for coming today. I really appreciate it. Thanks, Robin.